Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, Eric Christensen here, pharmacist from reallifepharmacology.com. On today's podcast, I'm going to cover quinolone antibiotics. So let's start with a few common examples of these drugs. Levofloxacin, brand name Levaquin, ciprofloxacin, brand name Cipro, and moxifloxacin, brand name Avalox. The mechanism of action and how these drugs work is they ultimately inhibit bacterial DNA synthesis as well as the production of proteins. And they do this by inhibiting an enzyme called DNA gyrase, which this enzyme actually helps uncoil DNA so it can be readily accessible to be converted into DNA and proteins and other things as well. So from that, by that mechanism, ultimately it prevents bacterial reproduction, synthesis, and things like that. So again, inhibition of DNA gyrase is the primary mechanism of action. Now, what are these drugs used for? These drugs are generally reserved for severe infections, gram-negative infections, sometimes Pseudomonas can have good coverage for that. So urinary tract infection, for example, significant pneumonia is another example there. And there has been, over the last few years, a lot of press about these drugs. And FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has come out with a bunch of warnings. And due to this, I have definitely seen use of quinolones go down over time a little bit. But they are key drugs in the setting of significant infections. So the reason for those warnings, there's concerns with mental health issues, possibility of low blood sugars, tendon rupture is always kind of a classic test question that I've seen come up. Also rare cases of neuropathy and different muscle abnormalities. So because of those warnings, the quinolones definitely seem to be being used less than maybe they were, 10 years ago or so. So keep that in mind with the side effect profile of these antibiotics. A couple others I wanted to mention in addition to those warnings, GI side effects, QTC prolongation can happen as well with these agents. Obviously, with an antibiotic, you're probably only going to give these medications for, 5 days, 10 days, something like that. So that can be a little bit of a challenge to kind of monitor and pay attention to, but something that certainly can happen. I mentioned they're beneficial in the treatment of urinary tract infections. However, generally, we're going to reserve these drugs for more complicated cases where the patient has a lot of stuff going on. Maybe they're geriatrics, an elderly patient, something like that. In more simple urinary tract infections, you're probably going to avoid use of quinolone antibiotics due to some of those warnings and precautions. Now, breaking down the individual drugs a little bit, I would say Levaquin and Cipro are the most common agents I see used. It's important to remember with Cipro that you're probably not going to see this used ever for pneumonia. And the reason being is ciprofloxacin doesn't have that great of activity against strep pneumoniae, which is a very common gram-positive cause of pneumonia. So levofloxacin and moxifloxacin have much better activity in that setting of pneumonia caused by strep pneumoniae. A downside to Cipro is it is usually dosed twice daily. Levofloxacin is usually once daily, so that's a little bit of an advantage there. Keep in mind these drugs need to be dose adjusted with kidney function. So if you've got somebody with CKD, keep an eye out for that because we may have to adjust the dose accordingly. I've got a couple of really good case studies in my book, Pharmacotherapy. And if you'd like to get that for free, if you love audio and you haven't signed up for Audible yet, you can do that at meded101.com/freebook. That link will take you right to Audible. And your first book is free with Audible. No commitments, kind of a no-brainer if you love clinical pharmacy and you're passionate about it like I am. So again, meded101.com/freebook, and you can get yourself that book for free and give Audible a try as well with no commitment. So go check that out. Now, finishing up today, I wanted to talk about drug interactions because there definitely are some significant ones that you've got to remember with quinolone antibiotics. So the first one I'm going to tie in here is QTC prolongation. And I have heard of a case where a patient on amiodarone was put on levofloxacin as well as on dancitron. And it ended up putting that patient into a torsades type situation. So you've got to remember the QTC prolongation risk. And in particular, our patients may be at higher risk for that already due to maybe a pre-existing condition and or other medications and drug interactions. Warfarin's a classic example. Levofloxacin, Cipro can potentially raise that INR, so that may put a patient at risk for bleed. So definitely important to keep that in mind. Other agents I think about as far as the QTC prolongation risk, you've got the antipsychotics, you've got ondansetron that I've mentioned as well there, so keep those in mind. Another really, really clinically relevant drug interaction is metal cations. So what I mean by that, the most common ones I see patients use, potentially calcium, iron, maybe even magnesium. Those supplements, those type of supplements, if taken with the quinolone antibiotic, can bind up that drug and prevent absorption. I have seen cases where it's led to antibiotic failure, likely due to too low of concentrations because those cations, those supplements, are binding up the quinolone antibiotic. So very, very important to keep an eye out for that. Some options we can do, we can look at the timing. You know, can we administer one in the morning and wait for the other one in the evening or something like that? So adjusting that timing, that's one way to kind of strategize to get rid of that. So if it's a, you know, calcium supplement for osteoporosis, it's probably not going to kill somebody to not have that supplement for 5 days. Or 7 days, or you know, whatever the course of the antibiotic is. So that's another way to kind of combat that interaction as well. I think that gives you a good roundup on the quinolone antibiotics, some of the common uses, drug interactions, adverse effects, things that you actually see out there in real clinical practice. Hopefully that helps you enhance your knowledge base, and thanks for listening. Give us a shout out on iTunes. Leave a rating review. Greatly appreciated for those of you who've already done that. And certainly you can feel free to contact us at reallifepharmacology.com as well if you have any questions or concerns at all. So again, Eric Christensen, pharmacist, signing off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Take care and have a great rest of your day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.